but he could not control the kite. It went out beyond him. It was trying to tug him with it into the rain. It lifted and dived and sliced back at the wind, and its line snagged in the tree and came crumpling. It hung there at the edge of his sight, pelted by leaves and rain, snapped up and dropped by the wind till its skin began tearing away. The window shivered and lurched off with him, dragging the storm clouds away from the branches. Everything rocked and settled. He was a traveller. It was like going home at night in the car, waiting to fall asleep in the seat beside Sky, knowing that when you awoke, the time and the distance would have passed, you would be home. And sleep would come, delicious, as the sounds around you, Mummy and Daddy in front, the radio music, Sky singing under her breath, drifted in and out, getting mothy and dim, your eyelids slipping down, moving through the night in a warm, safe room, the nicest thing in the world. He could hear hooves beating on the road. Someone was galloping by beside them, shouting, something loud and fierce and indistinct. A highwayman came riding, riding, riding. All night long when the stars are out, why does he gallop and gallop about? But it was not dark after all. Up through the little window there were other trees now, looking in on him and falling away, with more lining up to gaze down at him, dripping the slow grey rain down the window as they peered in, with the thick clouds behind them, though the wind had died out. What were they thinking? What were they saying to each other? These were the trees along the driveway. There was the tamarack where the blue jays had nested, looming in with its wet, witchy fingers, brushing the glass as the car speeded up. They were talking about him, and he wanted to stay and listen. So he must somehow get to the window and look back before they reached the gate. The hoofbeats were so close. They were racing with the car. The man was shouting again. They were going too fast. Gravel spat up against the floor. He was pressed to the streaming glass. The house stared back from the end of the trees, with Mummy and Daddy and Sky standing in front, crying out to him, but the rain was in their voices. The car dipped and swayed. The hooves beat alongside. The invisible horseman yelled from on high, like a command in a dream, but a command full of fear. Four! Four! Urging the wheels along. They were at the gate. He reached back towards the house. When things dreamed, nothing happened. Things were untroubled, a slow gathering in of memories that stood there, themselves. Nothing had to change. This was where he belonged, staring out patiently, as a tree, living or dying, could just stare out, as the walls of his room stared out at each other. He would stay here forever. The wheels in the glass-fronted clock would run down and be still, like everything else. The dust would settle. It did not matter when the door swung inwards. He scarcely noticed. Their voices were vague and muffled. Auntie Cat with her arm round Mummy's waist, like people in a brown photograph from long ago. They came in and left the door open, and the things just stared with him, contained and unaffected. Auntie Cat was picking up clothes from the floor and off the bed, folding them over her arm. She moved through the room, and he wished she would not. He did not want her looking at everything. Things were not meant to be disturbed. She was picking him out of his things. Once he had sat in her house, in the carved chair under the spiral iron staircase, with a skein of aquamarine, aquamarine, aquamarine soft wool looped over his outstretched hands, while she sat before him, smiling, on the footstool, and wound the wool off into a big ball in her lap. Her round blue eyes that were always smiling, but looked into your thoughts. She ran her hand along the edge of the dresser, and his skin crawled. She fingered the wooden horse. He could feel himself being drawn out. She would wind him in and fold him over her arm. He wanted to say, "Go away, you're a witch, you're not my auntie." For she wasn't. Sky said Auntie Cat had had two husbands, and the last one had been Daddy. "You're not my auntie," he said, his voice thin and spiteful in his own ears. But she paid no attention. Her hand closed upon the horse. "I shall sleep here tonight," she said, with that wicked, strong kindness of hers. "That will be best for everyone." He found his own horror in his mother's face, but she bent her head in submission and turned away. Why did she listen? He would not be left with Auntie Cat's eyes and greedy fingers. He had to go out with Mummy, trying to cry in her ear to change her mind. But he was lost in the shadows as soon as she closed the door behind them. The stairwell was a funnel of bars and reflections and false, unfamiliar angles. He was lost and thin and angry. He drifted too close to things to see them properly, and the only light was down over Daddy's shoulder, where his hand moved upon the paper. The hand was angry, too. It sketched quick ruffles of brown chalk, and then cut into them with slashes of pen and ink. Daddy's breath came loud through his nose, and he pushed the paper around and away and pulled out another sheet. The black strokes were finding a hand down at the right of the paper, and the chalk near the circle swirled around three crooked holes in an egg. The hand grew stronger, its palm faced out, and the bony lines of its wrist slanted into the page. The paper lay upon the bed of the press, with the rollers and the thick worm gear black at the edge of the lamp's light.